You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements of any type? Okay, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation today, chapter 14, verses 9 through 14. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, save the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Right, well, I've got myself a new Bible, man. And it's a King James Bible, and it's called the Note Taker's Bible. And it's put out by a local church Bible publishers. And you can get it on the internet for $60. I don't mind advertising because I think it's great. See the margins, man. You can write in there. Put down your notes. Make sure you get a good Indian ink pen so it doesn't bleed through. And man, smell that leather, man. Smells good. Feels good. So I feel really good about this. Yeah. So I'm going to write into that. And oh, the other thing that's neat about this is it has the original preface to the reader, and it's also got the epistle dedicatory, and that's a really neat thing to read if you want to know anything about the history of the Bible. You need to read that, and you really get some context, which shows you, well, one of the reasons why the King James is not a politically correct Bible. Believe me, it's not. And there's a lot of good reasons why you should get behind the King James Bible. And I think I should really do a lot more preaching about the King James, why it is that I use the King James Bible, why I believe it's the Word of God in English, and why that the other translations are a big mistake, and they're founded on a completely different text. July 4th is becoming a tremendously important thing to remember for all of us. And especially as you see the nation moving further and further away from the Constitution. But what we're also detecting is that there is now quite a vocal minority. I think it's a minority, and perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps it's going to turn out that we're going to see a majority, perhaps, of people that are beginning to say, wait a minute, we're going down the wrong road here. And they may not have all the answers, but here is the possibility for those of us who really understand something more about how the country was founded to get behind movements, organizations that have been all this time saying, hey, stop, look at the Constitution, look at our history, look at the intention of the founding fathers in that generation, let's get behind it. And those of you who are in churches where the preacher is going against the teaching of biblical principles, and is one way or another against these great biblical principles of liberty, you need to get out of those churches, because you're not going to change them. You're not going to change them. Once that preacher is gone and the administration of the church is behind these people, get out. Find yourself a church that's back to the scriptures, back to those principles that we need to endorse. And I went along to the OCPAC meeting this past Wednesday. And there's a lot of discussion about what's going on in legislation and how that the statement which was made in context about the nation of Israel, that Jesus said that the enemy shall be those of your own house. We know there's a special Israeli context and kingdom context to that. But nonetheless, as a principle, isn't that true of what's going on today with many of those who say that they are conservatives? And what do they do? Oh, I'm conservative. I believe in this. I'm against abortion. And then the next thing, what do they do? Cut. You know, they put their vote the other way. In the end, chop down and destroy. And those people that you think you can trust, they end up being those that are against you. They do a U-turn on you. And I think we need to start speaking up and being quite frank about what we believe, getting behind people who will stand up for good biblical principles and principles that are there amongst the founding generation. Look, I've read enough now about the founding fathers to know that they all were not somehow perfect Christians. They were not. There were some in there who, quite frankly, I would disagree with them on many features and ideas behind the Bible, things that are plainly taught in the Scriptures. Thomas Jefferson, great man in many ways. Hey, but do you know that that man did not believe in the miracles of Jesus Christ? He did not believe in them. And what he did was he made a new redacted New Testament where he expunged those statements made by Jesus that he thought were not true. And then he published them and would give them out. But here's the thing about even Thomas Jefferson, which the liberal would like to point to as being somehow not a believer. He did believe in the principles and the teachings of Jesus as far as the philosophy that it taught. And he thought that there was nothing greater than that as far as a philosophy to live by. And we know that because there are many letters that he wrote between friends, and they're kept. And we can read his thoughts as he would discuss with other people his beliefs. Not a perfect man. So what? He would be far, far greater than just about anyone else you want to put forward today. And he would be probably the worst example of Christianity in the founding generation. Yet, what do we find? Someone who had great respect for the philosophy and the teachings of the Bible concerning how you should then live. So I'm right behind. When I say that I believe in America, I don't mean that I believe in what people are doing today in the name of America. That's not the point. The point is getting back to what America should be as intended by the founding generation. That's what we talk about. When we're talking about America, that's what we're looking at. You know, I saw this guy on the internet, and he was a man like myself from outside America. Why did he come to America? He said, he was interviewed, and he said, well, I started off in Britain, and then I went to Australia. And when I started to get involved with that society, I saw that they had rejected the Bible and conservative biblical principles. So I came to America because, well, I'd read about America in the books and so on of history. But when I got to America, I found that a lot of Americans don't want the Constitution and are moving away from those things. And he remarked in a way which was of great disappointment, the fact that occurred. But he also pointed out, as I do as well, that there are still a large number of people who do believe in the Constitution, who do believe in the founding generation. And we need to group together and show unity and force of numbers to get things done. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've got together. We pray for the nation, Lord. We see it's moving away from these great truths. We pray, Lord, that You could use us in all sorts of different ways to bring out the truths that we can show others with, the great force of truth that we need to point to. And, Lord, that they're not made up. They're not just ideas of fancy, Lord, but rather they've got fact and ideas which are worth living by. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today I thought, well, we will just quickly go through some of the things that we've looked at and move on a little bit. We had looked at this idea of Sion. And I pointed out the fact that even in the English usage, and as you find in the King James, you find that it's something that is very much entrenched with Israel. And when you come to the New Testament, what do you find? Well, you find it in books that relate to that time when Israel was first. And especially when you come here in Revelation, you find this one occurrence of it. 1 Peter once, Hebrews once, Romans. You say, what about Romans? Two times. Well, yeah, but you see, Romans was written during that time of the book of Acts where Israel was first. When you look at Zion, you find that this is the city of David. It's the place, that hill upon which the city of David was to be built. And that Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So Zion is another name for the city of David in the Scriptures. And plenty of other passages where you see that much which has to do with Israel is centered around Zion. So many promises. Says, oh, that salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Oh, yes. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. It's going to happen. He's going to shine out of Zion. It's going to be a great thing. In Psalm 110, verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And of course, at the time of the end, the enemies of Israel shall come forward. And the enemies of God, too. They will come forward and fight around that area. Well, we talked about the lie. It's interesting. In Romans, who changed the truth of God into a lie, we find that lie is a special lie. The lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And what we're going to see here is that because at the time of the end there's going to be this affront, this Babylonian affront against the true God, such that a gospel will be preached, which we'll find in Revelation 14, which will expose this lie. We saw also that Paul also gives us instructions today, which will keep us from the lie. And that means, of course, that we who rightly divide the word of truth and have come to understand something of this, we can be involved even today about expunging the lie. Now, this expression, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and verse 1, it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So we start off Revelation 14 with these who have been redeemed from the earth. These are these first fruits. These are great exemplars of the overcomers. And they're 144,000, they are males, right? And they are untouched with the lie, the manifestations of the lie. And so you've got this contrast with Revelation 13, where you've got those who worship the beast, who get a mark in their foreheads. These ones, they have the Father's names written in their foreheads. Great contrast between Revelation 13 and 14. And then you've got other contrasts going on. If you go across to Revelation 14 and verse 6, and it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And I saw another angel. And you notice that this goes forth preaching this gospel. Now, when I first got involved with the Bible, I used to think that there was only one gospel. That's how it was presented to me. One. There's only one gospel. That's it. You can't have many gospels. There's just only one gospel, and that's the one we preach. Well, unfortunately, that is completely false. Like a lot of stuff that you get taught in various churches and traditions and ideas, you finally discover that that's absolute nonsense, and what it does is just leads to great disappointment
and great confusion in your own personal life. What's more is that you end up not being able to believe things that come out of the mouth of the preacher, because you discover that what he's saying is nonsense. And pretty soon you say, well, this is a waste of time coming along to this service because I can't trust what's coming out of the pulpit. And what am I getting out of this? Why do I even come? And it can lead to the shipwreck of people's faith. Doctrine matters because our minds matter. Our minds, the noose. Right? It matters, man. You got to get your mind sorted out. Do you notice that there are many people within professing Christianity who have got mind problems? You know, that's true. I think that's a shame. I don't think that should be the case. I think what you should be is that people who are in churches of true faith should have good minds. We should be able to face facts. We should be able to detail our beliefs with logical structure. Not this. I hope so. I think it's right. It's what I believe. In other words, belief means you can believe anything. You see, I believe, that statement means your mind's gone. Yeah. I believe. That's it. Mind's gone. No! Not at all. Noose is present. Logic is present. So, gospel. Yeah. We find here a particular gospel now is being preached. And you'll notice what it says. It says, the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made. Oh, it's the God that made everything. So he made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. As atheism takes root, so there becomes a strange admixture of paganism. Even though people say, well, I don't believe in God, what ends up happening is, oh, I don't believe in the biblical God, but I will not criticize anybody that believes some other God. This is the weird, messed up noose that people seem to get. Have you noticed the weird thing that's happened with liberalism? That the liberals have joined forces with Islam. How on earth could that be possible? That Islam will be the force that will cut the liberals' throat. Literally. Isn't it weird? It's the weirdest thing you could possibly imagine, yet it is happening. So don't tell me that what the Bible's saying here is so weird. No, no, this is reality. This is the degenerate mind. Once the noose goes, there's problems. And even Christians can get into this. Because they do not rightly divide the word of truth, they can get a played with mind. A messed up mind. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't know whether this is still true, they used to have a statement. If you miss three services, you're out of the truth. The truth meaning the Jehovah's Witness doctrine. In other words, you've got to be brainwashed. You've got to keep coming along and being told these things, because if you're not, your mind will start saying, well, that's not making sense. That's not making sense. See, what my challenge here to all of you is, check out what we're saying from the scriptures and see whether it's making sense. I'm telling you right now, if the stuff that I'm teaching you is not conforming to the scriptures and making sense, logical sense, then you shouldn't believe it. Don't believe it. Oh, then I won't be your friend. Come on. Not going to make any difference to me. I'm so secure in what I believe now, as I said to Seppi and Reuben, I've even got a Bible now where I'm not messing around with pieces of paper to put my notes in. I've got to the point now where largely my doctrine's settled, because I've gone through all this for so many years now. When I write down my thoughts, that's it.
Now, it's not, that's not going to be say that I'm not going to come back and change things if I find something that's wrong. But I've got to the point now where I can write directly into the scriptures my thoughts, because I've mulled them over and I've checked them out.
So it says here that there is this gospel, everlasting gospel. Well, yeah, that's right.
An everlasting gospel which will fit exactly those times when the lie which challenges the truth of God the Creator is going to be manifest in a Babylonish type religion on this earth. When the beast will take advantage of that. You see, the beast or the emissaries of Satan will take advantage of the weakness that's a part of the world age. What's the world age now? What's going on now? Well, what's going on now is this liberalistic idea that we've got to progress the Constitution. We've got to progress it. It's a living document that needs to be conformed to the age, you see? That is another manifestation of the lie. That's another manifestation. Read Romans chapter number 1. You'll see it there. Turning the truth of God, the truth, into a lie. Perfect parallel with the Constitution. Perfect. You need to write a book on that one, man. That is really something to see. What are we going to do? Well, we've got to be sentinels of truth, man. Get that truth out there. It's time to wake up, my friends, and take the red pill. Right? It's time to take the red pill. Time to wake up. All right. I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but that's the way it is, right? There's other people who are going to see this message, and they need to hear this sort of thing. Now, let me just show you some of this. And we'll come back to this about the dead. This is fascinating. I've got into this because I got into the great white throne judgment. And there's so much in here that needs to be opened up. It's massive. It's going to be another one of those massive things. You know, I've always been interested in the whole manifestation of farming. And have you ever seen what happens from just a little seed? These farmers have got these great big machines, you know, and they go out in these fields and they plow them, they prepare the soil, and in goes these little seeds. And then in a few months' time, this great big harvest comes. Man, it's so fascinating to me, the way that food can be produced from just a little seed. It is an amazing thing. That picture is an interesting one, because the Lord uses the picture of a seed to show that at the end of the world there is a harvest, but there's some bad stuff that grows up amongst the good. It's a great picture of this coming up in relationship to the dead. And it's a very, very interesting thing. I hope to get to it. But for now, I want to take you to a passage. This is in the book of Luke. Let's go there. And this is the idea of gospel. And this is in Luke chapter number 18. And around about verse 34, we'll read from verse 31. Luke 18, 31. Then he took unto him the 12.
Then he took unto him the 12, man. The 12. Numbers. Numbers, my friends. Oh, I believe in the Bible. I believe it all. I believe the covers. You do you? Good. That's nice. So you believe that this gospel that's being preached here relates to you. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because you believe the Bible and the covers. Oh, yeah, I believe it all. Yeah, you believe it all. Cool. I believe it all too, right? So we're Christians, we believe the Bible. But there's something else you've got to get about the Bible, and that is you've got to practice something, my friends. And until you do, you're in trouble, as I will show you. Watch.
Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Oh, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Written by the prophets.
The 12 prophets. What's going on here is something prophetical. Something that's going on here relates to what the prophets said concerning Messiah.
And he goes on and he says this. Look what he says. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now hold the phone right there, my friends, and go across to another passage. And this is just hold, make sure you hold your hand here, right? Because we want to come back here. So have you one hand in Luke 18. Yeah, you know one thing about this Bible, it's got two ribbons. Nice. Two ribbons. And we go across to 1 Corinthians 15. Local church Bible publishers are going to love me because I'm advertising their Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Here we go. Now what we got here is a different author. His name is Ha Paulos. Paul, as we know him. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. I declare unto you that the gospel, which gospel is that, Paul, which I preached unto you, that's the Corinthians, which also ye have received, you've received this, and wherein you and you stand in this. So you've received this already, and you stand in it. You stand in it. You make your stand. You know it's true, and you've said yes. This is how we stand. By which also you are saved. Who? This is the gospel unto salvation. Looks like this gospel, my friends, you better take note of. Right?
So here we've got 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. They have received this gospel. They stand in it. And it's by which also, ye are saved. You're saved.
Do you want to be saved? Well, yes, we all want to be saved.
What does salvation mean? It means to be given resurrection to life. Do you want to be resurrected to life? Hopefully you do, right?
And it goes on and it says this. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, let's go back to verse 2. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Not some admixture.
Not turning the truth of God into a lie and then believing it. No. What I preached unto you. That. Not something else. Not some other perversion. What I preached unto you.
And he goes on. He says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Okay. Well, this gospel by which ye are saved, Corinthians, is the death, D, burial, and resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the gospel by which they're saved, and in which they stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Not something else, not some lie, not some ever admixture, not taking those things which are true and then adding some other garbage on top of it.
You understand what I'm saying here? That's pretty strong, very clear. Now coming back over here. Let's go back to Luke 18. 31. 32. And it says in verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Well, it doesn't mention specifically the burial there, but it's implied, right? I think you could agree with me here. It says, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Where would he rise from? From the dead, from death, right? So he was buried. Death, burial by implication, resurrection. That is mentioned here. And then it says this in verse 34, I should say. And they understood none. Oh, hold the phone. They understood none of these things. Whoa, wait a minute. This is Luke 18. Why, they were already, you can go back to Luke 9. There you'll read about how they went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Healing, doing all this miraculous stuff. The gospel of the kingdom was being proclaimed, man. Yet, they knew nothing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But Paul says, that's the gospel by which you are saved. But they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom and did know nothing about this. What does that mean? That means the preacher that says there's only one gospel in the Bible is telling you another fib. Garbage. Nonsense. The gospel of the kingdom was faithfully preached, and the people who were preaching it knew nothing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You say, where does it say? Let's read it. Look what it says. Verse 34. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. I don't know any way you could say it stronger than that. It seems like on a threefold repeat, he makes it plain that they knew nothing about this at all. Nothing. Paul says, that's the basis upon which you are saved. Nope. What does it mean? That means the gospel of the kingdom is not the same thing as the gospel that Paul was preaching right there in 1 Corinthians 15. Different gospels are in the Bible. Different gospel in the book of Revelation. Why? Because a gospel is simply good news. And good news can be generated for whatever the circumstance is. I'll give you another gospel. Let's find another gospel. What am I saying to you? I'm saying the Bible has to be rightly divided, and unless you rightly divide the word of truth, you've got a hash, man. You've got a hash mash. Let's go across to the book of Ephesians. And you notice I've got this one here in big, bold print. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 8. Look what it says. This is verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. 3, Trinity, God. 8, new beginning. New beginning. There we go. Unto me. Uh-oh. Who's that? Paul. Paul, ha, Paulos, Paul, gold. You hit Paul and you hit gold. That is Paul, the prisoner. You hit gold, man. Under me, who am less than the least of all saints. Less than the least. Well, he persecuted the church. He worked against God's purposes in ignorance, in unbelief. Hey, isn't that an interesting idea? That you can actually believe that you're doing God's service and you're working against Him. That's what I discovered I was doing. I was working against God's intent by not rightly dividing the word of truth. I was going against His will, and I was a professing Christian. I was knocking on people's door. Hello. Just from your local church, would you like to believe the gospel of the kingdom? You know, you can be really messed up and be a so-called Christian. It says this, "Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ?" The unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel." Yes, that's the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. There is another gospel there. A gospel which is of the same kind but different. That's the gospel that is uniquely given to us to proclaim. Unsearchable, untraceable. You can't find it. You can go back in your beautiful New King James Bible into the book of Isaiah, Zechariah, and you will not find it. It's untraceable. It's been hid in God and released at just the right time. There's another gospel there, Revelation 14:6. That's a different one. Perfectly fashioned and released just the right time for the purposes of God at that time. Yeah, respect the Bible. Respect it. Believe it. And it opens up to you, my friends. Here it is. Gospel. Gospel of the unsearchable riches. You notice who this is? Chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Who is this? Look at it. "For this cause I, Paul." I, Paul, ha, Paulos, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, Gentiles. The prisoner, that's the one. You want to know about God's will for us in this age? Then you have to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to rightly divide Paul's letters. The biggest thing you need to learn as a newborn Christian, a newborn child of God, is how to rightly divide Paul's letters. The first seven letters of his, Israel first. The last seven, Israel has been judged. Something new released, the revelation of the mystery. That's what we've got to learn. Well, I was going to get into all this stuff to do with the dead, but this is going to open up something quite massive. Quite massive, which relates to the seed. Which is going to relate to the books. And not simply the book of life, but the books that are going to be opened and those who are judged based upon the dead. What happens to the people, human beings, who have died with no chance they could ever possibly have heard the gospel? These are questions that I have. They've never heard the gospel. They haven't had a chance of hearing the gospel. You say, no such person today. Listen, there are people who are born today in the Sepik area of Papua New Guinea, which is just in the north of Australia. And I can tell you right now, many of those people are born and there is not a chance they could have heard the gospel. Not a chance. Until very recently. What about going back in some years? What about that? Not a chance. What's going to happen to them? I believe a lot of these questions are going to be answered almost completely as we study this topic. There's going to be some big eye openers relating to this. And questions that you all probably have had, I've had. Bingo, some great things coming. July 4. Well, I didn't have a real strong July 4 message for you. But I do believe this about this country. We in this church have got some great blessings. Because we're put in this position where we understand the scriptures rightly divided, and we've come to understand something about the great parallels of the truth of the Bible and the history of the nation in terms of its founding and its great mission to evangelize the world. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. of preaching and teaching of thy word. We pray that it's been clear that there is indeed a need to rightly divide the word of truth, to come to appreciate and understand the holy book, the book that thou hast prepared and preserved through these generations for us to understand, to live by as we rightly divide it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.